Jai Maha. First of all, gratitude, deep gratitude for keeping this place so beautiful, full of the divine vibrations of Sri Aurobindo and the Mother. Their presence, I think, 33 years almost since the relics came, 32 years plus. So not only has it kept that, but it is growing. So it's so gratifying, so many beautiful memories at a personal level that are associated with this place. So there is a subject given, but I would like that we open to a wide range of questions. But since there is a subject, we'll start with that. It's about consecrating our life to Sri Aurobindo and the Mother. Consecration is a sacred word. So consecration is like a rite, ritual. And what is the ritual behind it? You make something sacred by the act of consecration. It is an inner change, shift of the inner motive, the inner goal. That's the first thing needed. So ordinarily, let's take an example. We build a house, we have a house, we believe we own the house, we have people who are associated with us in the life, we have objects, we have money, all that things which are there. And that's the life of ignorance, and we all know that, very familiar, that we think we are owners, we think we possess it, till time comes to teach us what it has to teach us. Sometimes in harsh ways, sometimes in less harsh ways. So shift of motive is beautifully described in this story of Yagvalk. So there comes a time when he is going to go to the, he wants to go into solitude. So he divides his wealth between both his wives, Katyayani and Maitri, equally. So he asked them, I hope I have been fair, and is this okay? So Katyayani, the elder wife, she says, yes, I am more than happy. So Maitri says, I want to come with you. Solitude. So he says, why? Have I been unfair to you? She says, no. But I want something else. So there is a question-answer that follows, dialogue. It's in one of the Upanishads. And she says, why does one love the wife? Why does one love the child? And so on and so forth. So traditional answer, if you ask, is it is moha. Which at the end of the day sounds so strange. Who put us here and why? So do we have to leave all these things to find God? Yajnavalkya doesn't give that answer. He is incidentally the rishi of the Isha Upanishad, very world-affirming Upanishad. He says, Maitreyi, one loves the wife not for the sake of the wife. You can gender neutral, husband, or still more gender neutral, partner, okay? Not for the sake of the partner, but for the sake of the self. One loves the child not for the sake of the child, but for the sake of the self. One loves the country not for the sake of the country, but for the sake of the self. Now, this is the story very cryptically, as in we see in Upanishads, and the standard meaning would be that, well, it means that basically it's a selfish love. So ultimately he is saying the same thing, but saying it in a different way, decent way. But Sri Aurobindo gives it a very beautiful sense to this story in the Synthesis of Yoga, in the chapter on sacrifice. He says, as is the self, so is the love, Mother puts it in a nutshell, in a very beautiful way. She says, if one is an animal, the love is of an animal. If one is a human, then the love is like a human. If one is a god, love is like a god. So basically that he says, when we are associating the self with the little self, the ego, then we are connected to things through the little ego. So the little ego has within it a push towards reclaiming the whole creation. Why? It's a little front piece, but actually it is a little representative, very small pinpoint of the divine, just given little task, you know, like people go and give a task, but on behalf of someone. That's why it was said that when a dūta comes to another kingdom and speaks something, you're not supposed to attack the dūta. Why? Because it's taken as an attack on the kingdom. He's acting on behalf of someone. There is a beautiful line in Ilion where Achilles sends a message to King Priam, and Shobindo describes that the charioteer who is carrying the message, he is old, he is feeble, he is weak. He says, old and weak and frail, he carried the fate of a nation. So you see. So as long as he remembers that it is on behalf of, it's only a front piece, but on behalf of the greater self. The greater self or true self in the highest sense is the divine. And linking these two is something known as the psychic being. So there is the little self, the ego, we all know about it. Ego gives us a false orientation to life. It makes us believe this is mine and so it will always be there. And therefore, there is the greater self, which is the divine. But the problem with that is there something called as individual who has a role to play? Because people take that other extreme. Okay, it is the divine. Divine will do everything. Here itself, I remember once we had an interesting experience. There used to be sandalwood trees. I don't know whether you have still or not. I don't think. Still there are. So once some thief came and he did away with the sandalwood. You are not supposed to cut sandalwood. Huh? They belong to government. You nurture them. But they... So that time we were all connected. So I asked what happened to the sandalwood tree. He said, no, I was watching. The thief came and took away. So I said, so? You didn't do anything? No, I was a witness. It belongs to the divine. What a logic. And God is everywhere in everyone and everything. Perfect logic. Impeccable logic. This is what we have been doing. So that means we either take to a egoistic, wrong way of connecting with the world, or we take the other extreme that I have no role, nothing to play, it's all divine, and so it doesn't matter. Careless attitude. What does Sri Krishna say to Arjun? He says, Nimitta Matra Bhava Sabhyasachi. You have a role to play. And therefore at the end of the whole discourse, one of the greatest discourse ever given to mankind. So Sanjay says, I know, king, what I am going to say. He tells Dhritarashtra, you may not like it, but let me tell you the truth. The truth is that wherever there is Arjun, wherever there is Krishna, the coming together of Nara and Narayana, there will be a victory. So what it means is that there is something in between our false association with the world and abandoning everything, that it's all one, all God, all everything. And this connecting link, which has been missing in spiritual discourse, I mean, it's there, but let me not go into it, but like a supernumerary, is the psychic being. If you read Sri Aurobindo's chapters on sacrifice, you will see the ascent of the sacrifice, and he talks about the psychic being. It's of great importance. So psychic being is the link between the divine self, which is our origin. We may say, yes, our highest self. And this world, which is struggling in darkness and ignorance, psychic being is different from the ego. Ego is a construct of nature. That's how the Sankhya Darshan puts it. Ego is one of the elements of nature. Gives us a feeling, this is mine. But the psychic being is a portion of the divine. It's not a construction of nature. It identifies with nature, but is not a construction of nature. It knows that everything belongs to the divine and it acts on behalf of the divine as a representative of the divine. As he writes in the Divine Comedy, a participant. So basically consecration is that when we shift the focus that from things being me and mine to things being belonging to the divine, but with the keyword that belongs to the divine doesn't mean now I have nothing to do with it. I'm done with it. Doesn't matter. It belongs to divine. It never belonged to me. Many people say that, no? So nowadays there's a philosophy, all kinds of philosophy. It doesn't matter. Things will come, they will go, let go. It never belonged to you. Na tera tha, na tera rahega. Jo aya hai, chala jayega, khush hai bacha. I mean, WhatsApp summary of the Gita. Gita doesn't say that. By the way, if that's what Gita meant, Gita would never have asked Arjun to fight. Arjun is precisely saying that, ki, why should I fight? He is awakened to the great voice of the sannyasi, so he is doing the right thing. It is not mine. What does it matter if the kingdom goes away to somebody? I need to wander away in the forest. Now we don't even have safe forests. Everywhere there is human beings. Even Mount Everest, if you go, don't be surprised. Anyways, you will find connection now in Mount Everest thanks to Starlink coming, so you won't be isolated. I mean, technically, there is no place where you won't get connectivity. So, this is to remind us, it's reorienting, meaning thereby my life, one starts by this, that my life and whatever is being done, though it is given to me, it is not mine. But it belongs to the divine. So I am like a caretaker. It makes a big difference. So I don't leave away things, people, relationships, or what. I give away the money. Okay, it's not mine. You know, that's not the attitude. It now belongs to the divine. Now you see this little change. So that's what is consecration. Now let's take a practical implication. This is a great practical implication. Easy to say. People open the graha ceremony, no? What is it called? Graha pravesh. So there is a puja. So there is graha pravesh. So one day, many of these events, sometimes, you know, one goes, witnesses, one is called. So I say, see, now you have done this ceremony, but do you know what it means? What does graha pravesh mean? Means that now you can't regard this as my house. At the same time, you are not allowed to leave it just as it is. You are a caretaker government. Not caretaker government does a mess out of things. But you have to understand, so practical implication is, if this house is consecrated to the divine, let's take physically, one buys a house or builds a house, but it's consecrated to the divine. Now, you know, you want to have a party. It's not your house, okay? Don't forget. You can have a party. You can call people. But it's not your house. It's the mother's house. You see, we don't have to even say a word. Doesn't it change things? Completely changes. This act is consecration. This inner shift that though to the world's eyes this is mine, yet it is not mine. And it's the divine's. And see how, what a trend-setting example the Divine Mother has given. So she writes to her son in, I think, 1951, 52, like that. She writes to her son, Andre. She says, we have so many cattle, so many this, so many houses and people. At the end, she says something very interesting. you know, it had to be transferred in my name, but basically, you know, it all is belongs to Sri Aurobindo. I know you understand it, but just in case. Don't come and stay claim. See how many ramifications come. In Auroville, there is nothing like a transfer of property by heredity. Am I right, Ramnarayanji? You build a house as well as you want to. You live there. If your child wants to come and practice yoga, it's okay, part of that. He can't sell the house. That dad's gone, now this is my. Now you see what happens. So it's easy to say, consecrate, but so difficult to practice, even one practical basic step. Okay, wife is not mine, but she is mother's child. Now you start relating. You'll be in a fix so many times. How do you deal when she is angry? Jai Kalima. Sharanagati, Sharanagati. You can't say, this is my house. You have to listen to how I am saying. You can't say that. This is not your house. And vice versa also, because times have changed. Now it's the other way around. So, see, everybody, this is the cycle of yoga. Sri Aurobindo has created a yoga parivartan, divine, it's the era of the divine feminine. Don't forget it. So that's why you see, he plays the Mother Durga for India, then Divine Mother in the forefront, Savitri, who has written about the feminine avatar, eternal feminine. So this is the age. So essentially, it is that we have to start treating things, people, relationship, objects, as not ours, but we are to look after it. It also means to be disinterested even in the work that is divine. See, these are training grounds, beautiful. Not only training grounds, these are grounds where, there is the like Shaktipeet of the future. So there are places where the new creation, the new consciousness is rooted in matter, which is so beautiful. That's how it has an effect over large territories. But we have to also understand that this should extend in our everyday life. It is not enough that, you know, when one comes here, then. So everyday life, when we go back, it's not like Mother says about integral yoga. The integral yoga is not like for some time when I sit in meditation, I will be fine. But when I'm taking a walk, when I'm going around, then I can be just my usual self. It's not a divided life. It's a continuity of, that's why the beauty of integral yoga is there is no fixed process. We can take fixed process depending on our, you know, different stages of life. But to treat everything as divine. Now, what it means, I'm not entering into it because many things will flow from that if we just shift this inner motive. Okay, this is Graha Pravesh, now it belongs to the Divine Mother. So which is the first graha in which we do pravesh? Psychic being does graha pravesh in this body, temple. So if we consecrate the body to the divine, supposing we just do a prayer and, you know, body, mother, this body belongs to you. If she says yes, mother says at one place, she says, my child, if you come to the divine and say, I am yours, and the divine says yes, then the whole world cannot lay any more claim. If the body belongs to the divine, do we need to teach somebody smoke or don't smoke, drink or don't drink? Oh, forget about drinking, smoking is still far. The language, this machine gun that is always there, instead of a flute, it should become a flute, no? It's like a machine gun. Constantly firing, God knows, throwing vibrations of anger, terrorize, Nowadays children say that terror has new meaning. If an elderly shouts at a child, he may say, "Don't terrorize." You become a terrorist in the eyes of the child. So this is now belongs to the divine. No, we cannot let any kind of words come, gossip, slander, abusiveness, speaking ill of others, condemning others, criticizing. It's just not possible. Now, it doesn't happen in a day, but we should know where we have to go. It's understood. But at least we should know the direction in which we have to go. That's what somebody said very beautifully. Where we stand is not so important. What is important is the direction towards which we are facing. That is where the goal comes in. That is where the faith and the idea comes in. The Gita says, whatever is a sure faith and the idea on which the man dwells, that is the destiny. Nobody else creates destiny. If I have faith, show me those words, in self-healing, I'll end up discovering one day methods of self-healing. If I have faith that life will one day become transformed, I'll end up discovering ways and means through which it can be transformed. If I hold this idea that we are in a deepest core divine, I'll end up discovering the divine. But if the mind has to dwell upon it, that is the real meditation. Not just sitting with closed eyes. Yes, closed eyes is also time to time we engage in intensifying that process. But this fire must continue. So this fire has to be kindled, because consecration is a rite. So in the rite ritual, we do yajna. First thing is to light up the fire. Two things which Shobindo says which apply to consecration. First is to light up the fire. There is no yoga without aspiration. One may do any amount of techniques, learn, pay money and learn methods of meditation, go on a 10-day retreat and practice witnessing, all that one may try. Yoga has not begun. Mother goes on to say, you may do all the exercises, Hatha Yoga and Raj Yoga, discipline your mind and body, yet that is not spiritual life. Mother's words, they are in volume 3. And then she is told that, but doesn't it discipline? She says, yes, but a discipline for its own sake is not what we are needing. Hatha Yoga takes us to a tremendous degree of physical control. And Raj Yoga to the control of the mind. You know, when you constantly have those Yama, Niyama and all that. So that in itself is not enough. All this is a preparatory method. But real thing begins when the fire of aspiration is lit. And this aspiration should be very, very, the clearer it is, the better it is. It should not be vague. And Mother gives a very simple method. Whatever we do in life, we should be conscious why we are doing it. And she starts by telling the ashram students and those who were listening to her, you go to the samadhi every day, 51 kanose. Can anybody tell me why do you go? Strange, no? We all go to the ashram. Why do we go? We come to the center. Why do we go? We bow down at the samadhi. Or the, you know, beautiful where relics are installed. Why are we doing it? So, first step is to become conscious of why we are doing. Before we can shift the motive, we don't even know the motives. That's covered, twisted so much, and then there is, of course, justification. All this is a package. Yoga is a package. It's not one thing or the other. So, fire has to be lit. Clarity of aspiration. Why? And it's something very sacred. Even if life goes away, the aspiration should be there. That should be the state. It's the most sacred treasure. Birth of aspiration is the most sacred event in life. That's where everything begins. Sacredness of things begins. Birth of aspiration. I may start a big organization in the name of Sri Aurobindo, write a book, hold seminar, go and give a talk. That doesn't make it mother's work automatically. Why am I doing it? Is it really inner service or am I just deceiving the world? See, we can deceive the world, but we can't deceive her. And that's where this is important. She uses a word, and this was one of my experiences here, so I can share it. So when, I think it was 91, before the relics came, so Pradeep Bhai, that time, I think some of you may be knowing, Neelam of course knows, all the problems that were going on. And he said, why don't you look after as the secretary? So I didn't know actually that what it means. So I picked up mother's prayers and meditation, open for guidance, randomly. And I remember where, 4 or 5 of us were sitting in Kamadhenu. We had gone for a nice dosa. I don't know, Kamadhenu exists now or not. Does it exist? Yes. Anyways, so we opened, and the prayer that came, in that there was a word that even when we do the divine work, we should be disinterested. I said, this is a new word. What does it mean, disinterested? Does it mean that I should do it casually, it's okay? That cannot be the meaning. So I searched the meaning of the word and looked into its deepest sense. The word is very clear. I didn't know the meaning. That doesn't mean that word is very clear. Word means there should not be any personal profit or interest for which we are doing it. And the profits are not always outer. Profits can be very subtle. Somebody may give me a pat on the back. Ah, wow, oh, good work done. All these things are hidden like little, what shall I say, vermins. Worm that eats the fruit. So disinterested is that. Disinterested also implies that other meaning. That, well, it is there today, tomorrow, if it is taken away, fine. Disinterested also means I am not doing it only with my angle. I want it this way. It's not about me or you wanting it this way. It's about how the divine would want. That becomes important. Center is, that's why we have our marriage ritual, which I keep reminding all of us. What is there in the marriage ritual? In the center? Fire. Forget the fire and put parents or in-laws in the center. You know what is going to happen. Even for them, they will burn, poor fellows. That's not a place for them. Put yourself in the center, there'll be a problem. The central place, that's what is mother's symbol, no? Everybody talks about the 12 qualities and all. But 12 qualities is for later. What is the core? Ego or the divine mother? In this mother's symbol, center is divine mother, Aditi, the divine consciousness. So who is sitting in the center? Ravan was a great, outwardly they use the word bhakta, everything. He had read the Vedas, he could give nice lectures on Vedas. He was invited by all the world celebrities to give a lecture on Veda. He ran a YouTube channel, propaganda channel. But for all that, where did Ravan go? Because at the center was the ego. Shivabindu uses the word to dethrone the ego. Not easy. It will give 100 reasons, justifications, hide inside, and you know. So consecration is not a one-day process, a lifelong process. Every time we discover something which was an agent of the ego, whenever we discover it, doesn't matter. And plenty of things. She says, take it by the pincer. Of course, she describes, throw it far away, it'll come back, pick up again. She also says, throw it into the fire. It will hurt. It's very easy to point mistakes of others, very difficult to see into oneself that yes, there is a problem here. So all these little things which will emerge, they will come out because of the pressure of the fire, Agni. They will come out because they cannot stand it. So these elements will come. Not only that, wherever there is a yajna, we should not forget, it is well known since ancient times that the asuras and the rakshasas come, they throw all kinds of things because that's their job description. Ultimately, they are trying to challenge our sins. That's why they are allowed. So if there are hidden motives, they'll be uncovered. And they have smart ways. The original mafia don, Duryodhan, Godfather movies, original version is Suddenly he sees Karna and says, this fellow can be my instrument. He says, take this Rajya and become a king. So he becomes Sangharaj. See how he bought. Exactly same thing mafia dons do, no? You need money for your daughter's marriage, take it. Sir, you are so kind, so generous. What do I have to do for you? Nothing. You take it. Next time again, take it. Must have seen the movie, no? D Company. Third time he says, shoot this fellow. So they have very cunning ways. Very, very cunning. It's very difficult to detect the Asura and his subtlety and his cunning. And there is, of course, if you understand that, then they will play the other way. Threaten. They bring in fear. Things happen. That's why it is described as the razor's edge in one sense. Shurasya dhara nishitha duratya kavyavanti. That's how it is, pantha duratya. You have to walk on the razor's edge. That right balance, that awareness. So all this is the package when we start the consecration. It's not enough that I join the ashram and I start. The same problem will come. Oh, that fellow is doing, I wish I could get this chair. I wish I could have a nice table and chair work. All this will come, wherever. It's not outer things are only an external support. They can work either ways. One may feel, now I have joined the ashram, now I am already Swamiji. Thank God Sri Aurobindo doesn't have anything like that. Swami Akhandananda or Alokananda or Anilananda. Thank God. Uske hi ahankar ho jata hai. Itna bhyankar ahankar hota hai na. Mujhe to sab malum hai. Abhi Swami bana. Arre naam badla hai tumhara. Only your name also. It doesn't mean anything. Have you ever heard Swami Yagyavalka Ananda? Swami Vedavyas Ananda. All this is modern, much later, when we started doing that otherworldliness. For that matter, imagine Swami Krishna Ananda. What would Sri Krishna say? Leave me just as it is. With Sri Aurobindo, people wanted to ask him that what should we put, Mahayogi, Maharishi, all these things. Sri Aurobindo says, please leave it at Sri Aurobindo, just that. And mother says the same thing. She says, no, there should be no prefix. Why is he saying so? All these words, they have lost their meaning. Mother's words, Maharishi, Mahayogi, all bring down, can be defined divine into any category. Have you ever heard before Sri Krishna? And what is he described in the Gita? Yoga Yogeshwara Krishna. Sanjay says, Yogeshwara Hari. He sees that in the vision. But nowhere Sri Krishna doesn't introduce, nowhere he is introduced as, coming as Yogi Raj. We can say that as a moment of this thing, but the fact remains that there is something much greater, much more. Because these words are now associated, unfortunately, even they bring in the egoism. See the Shadmavesh. They bring in egoism. And unfortunately, because Swamis have to leave their wife and family behind. Why am I saying unfortunately? Because nobody is there to tell them, look here, you can be wrong. There is no child to tell them, dad, okay, you may be very spiritual, but excuse me. You asked me to tell a lie. That's not right. So, this is a yoga which is not one of those things where we just assume an outer dress, outer name, outer form, and start fooling around ourselves, and we can't play with the divine. It's dangerous. It's something where we have to have vigilance, sincerity, growth of sincerity, and everything that we put into the psychic fire gets refined. So consecration means, the word used is ascent of the sacrifice. We put crude things, it comes out refined. That's what it does all the time. You put a crude stuff, it gets refined. Gold gets refined. The outer dross is totally removed. See, this process has to go on refining till it becomes pure gold. It's a constant process. So it's not to be discarded. Love is not to be discarded, but from the animal we have to lift it to human. Human also, there are gradations of human love. And then from there to the divine, again there are gradations. So when we do, that process is called as consecration. Consecration starts with shifting of the aim, lighting the fire of aspiration. It proceeds by offering everything we discover into the flame. Why? Not for it to be destroyed, but so that it becomes more refined, purer, more beautiful. It comes out in its real truth. Everything on earth has its original truth. Human love's original truth is divine love. But here it is distorted, deformed, perverted and all. It has to regain its original purity. That's what is transformation, if you really look at it. That these elements are originally divine, but here they are. That's how Sri Aurobindo says, there is one understanding of illusion, that the world is unreal. Second is, it's a distorted. So how do you make it pure and correct? Purity is not about moral purity, ethical purity. There are stages, again, needed at one point. It's about divine purity, which is very different. That element should respond only to the divine vibration, wherever it finds. It doesn't respond to, you know, our own mental ideas. So wherever you find that divine element, divine vibration. And one example of the mother with which we can stop and then have questions. So mother, when these people went with Savitri and they wanted to so-called correct coma, this, that, we know that story. And mother suddenly says, how can you dare to even think of that? And they were taken aback. And said, mother, but because, you know, this book Sri Aurobindo had not seen, so probably things have been left unnoticed. She says, how do you know that Sri Aurobindo did not intend to leave it as it is? Okay, gone. Later on, the very same people come and request, mother, we are publishing now the centenary edition. So we don't want, we want Sri Aurobindo's work to be perfect perfection. So can we look into it that way? She says, yes. Same mother, completely changed into a total karunamayi, compassionate. The same action, the same thing, the attitude makes the difference. First time it was the attitude, oh, I can correct things. The second is that, well, we are serving Sri Aurobindo. So that is the way the attitude has to shift inside, and collective work especially. Collective work is, as I said, in the marriage, same way here. It is mother and Sri Aurobindo who are... Oh, already there is a question like that. Yes, thank you. So in collective work, this is where it's important. That what is at the center, what is the... It's not about me, right, because I am, let's say, a secretary or chairman or XYZ. And this place has a history like that. So I was one of those involved in writing a letter. Somebody was looking out. I said, this is not how things should have been. And then what did we do? We didn't know how to know the mother's will. So very simply, we started reading. I'm now giving a practical hint. So Mother's Collected Work, Volume 13, contains everything about organization, how to deal with subordinates, how to deal with colleagues, how to, you know, treat them. And let's start reading. So even that was disliked. Because everybody wants to do it your way. So here we have to understand that whoever is given a certain work, Mother, that way she was very clear. Now I've entered into collective work. So it is that person who has to now do it the way one thinks is best. It may not be the bestest best, but it is that person's now sadhana going on. Now, if the divine, if whatever, there comes a time, there have been instances in the ashram, even here when we were there, when the person for some reason is unable to proceed further, even there have been so many instances where the person just left and gone away. There have been instances in the ashram, there are instances in, I'm sure, in Auroville. Don't have to do anything, because but this is the work. So, for example, in a department when you're working, these are actual dilemmas which come. So, supposing there is a head. So, one way is, oh, he's an idiot. Always heads are all, I know my best. What does he know? It's very easy, no? Oh, Sachin Tendulkar, he should have done this. He should have, why did he try the hook shot? He should have just glanced it. It's very easy to say, no? Go and face 100 kilometers per hour, then talk about it. We don't know what's going on at that point of time, inside the person, out. It's a chance given in every, whatever work. So Mother gives a very simple one-liner for collective work. It's there in Mother's words. She says, I must repeat and remind you, each one must mind his own business. That's it. That's his area. You don't worry. That's between him and the mother. If mother is giving a long rope, mother is giving a long rope. Why? What? But where is my area? My area immediately is my consciousness, my attitude. Is my ego doing phadphadana? Is my ambition, oh, this fellow is foolish. If I were there, now look at it in bracket. What is the basic thing? I want to be there. I cannot say this openly. So I'm saying, if I were there, you know, I would do it like this. If you are needed there, mother will put you there. Don't worry. Wherever mother has put us, that's what is called to start with acceptance and surrender. Do it well. Who is dear to Rama? Shabri, Bharat, Lakshman, Hanuman, Shatrughan. See, each one in his own way, wherever they are put, they must do. Or Nalanil, so critical for the bridge. So whatever work is, or even the squirrel. So whatever we are given, we must do it well. And that's, whether it's well or not, it's not anybody else to judge, but the Divine Mother. But yes, if somebody is taking care of a work, one can always suggest. Mother would always suggest, don't push with insistence. Don't create very fixed forms and formulas. It becomes a problem. So, in the ashram courtyard, people used to be, now this is very nice, first of all, I must say, it's beautiful to read in Sanskrit also. Stay in Maunam. Maunam Acharanam. It's so beautiful, you know, it is a musical rhythm. If somebody will read, he'll say, yeah, I know, I should be in Maunam. It's so nicely said. Keep silent. Now, Maunam Acharanam. Oh my God, it like touches you. So, around the samadhi, sometimes people speak. So, two stalwarts of the ashram used to speak. So, Jugalda, he himself told me this story. He was used to feel very uncomfortable. Now, they are stalwarts. Should he complain to mother or not? So, one day he sent letter to her through her son, Andreda. Please tell the mother this, what I feel. Should I tell them or should I not tell them? Mother's reply comes. If you tell them, they may progress. But if you don't tell, you will progress. And then she added, if you feel deeply moved to say, you say it once, say it nicely, and then leave it at that. this is a play which is going on. And in this yoga particularly, every center, every place, you will see that all kinds of human representative comes. In the ashram also, and they have called, they have said that this is a laboratory. So you will see the Devata type, the Asura type, the Rakshasa type, the Pishacha type, the Pramatha type. And there are two words that, or three images that I use when people ask, tell me about the ashram, and they don't understand. So I say, you know, Shivji ki barat hai. You know what happened in Shivji's marriage? Who accompanied him as the barati to Mother Parvati? Only Nandi is, he is sitting on Nandi. Who is the company? Devata, Dana, Asur, Bhut, Pishach. And Devas are, why, these people, they are chaotic. They don't understand. But Shiva is there, they can't say anything. They are waiting, they are all going to the Divine Mother. And she serves all of them with equal love. Why? Because there has to be hope for everybody. If they don't change, then the world will remain what it is. The problems of humanity is represented in every genuine Sri Aurobindo center. The problems are represented. So all types of humanity will be there. The second image that I use is, it's a giant washing machine. If you believe you are very clean, you have no role here. Somebody was telling that, you know, I thought that there will be siddhas in the ashram. He said, if they are siddhas, they don't need to do sadhana. They are sadhaks. So I use this image. I say, every sadhak should say, we are not finished product meant for the museum. Some people ask, tell me, is there some Superman or supramental being? I said, see, you expect them to put a badge, I am a supramental being, and in the museum for sale? That's not how it works. So anyway, not going into its deeper detail. And the third image is, what is the sign that a hospital is really, really wonderful with the bestest doctors in the world? Few patients. Now that of course is one way to look at it. But otherwise, what kind of patients will go there? Sickly. The worst patients. What is the point of going to a hospital where high-end people are coming and, you know, rich people's disease, Crohn's disease, I've got ulcerative colitis, do you understand? Expensive man's disease. So, yeah. People take so much pride, no? He's my psychiatrist. So, point is that where you see the worst case, who have not been really, nobody can cure them. Where will they go and find refuge? To the Supreme Healer. So that's why it's very difficult. The ashram is not a sadhu sannyasi ka mat. This is a letter of Sri Aurobindo. I have not come here to establish mats and bring sannyasis or create sannyasis. It is not a monastic order. So what does he say? He says, I have come here to call the souls of the strong to the Leela of Krishna and Kali. Souls of the strong. Those who can bear the transforming pressure. It's not easy because it brings out things inside. And one, you know, before yoga, if somebody is saying everybody is bad, this is bad, that is bad, means he has not started the journey. Then you begin to see, oh my God, I have problems. Okay, now you have started the journey. But the day one sees that whatever be the problems, difficulties, defects, the grace is infinite. There is no weakness that cannot be cured by the divine grace. Then you are right on the royal road. The sunlit path of the yoga. So that is how one has to understand this collective work. It's not like creating a uniform type of people. People will come, they will connect in different ways. Few things, yes. Obviously, you can't start drinking and dancing here and say everything. No, not like that. It's basic common sense. Though I learned something even through that. There used to be a man who used to, maybe with that I'll stop and, soul's choice, okay. So, we'll take up the questions. Already this is one of the questions we have taken up. So, there used to be a person who used to drink and drink and drink, and he would be always in that, you know, and would use unspeakable words. And one day I got very angry. I was just come to ashram. So, you know, when you are new, you want to prove. All the converts have this problem. They want to owe more allegiance to their master who is sitting in Arabia than the people there. Well, they want to prove a point. So, I have also new, I have come to ashram, neha neha. Hey, this is not the place. Get out of here, I told. This man took a fight. For long days, we were on kind of tussle. He is saying, main Haryana ka jaat hoon. Lamba choda. Actually, he was a formidable creature. And when he's drunk, he can do anything. I said, main mataji ka bachcha hoon. Air Force mein, thoda, you have to add something external also, no? I have a military background. That's a different thing that, you know, if he took to fist, I wouldn't stand a chance. Then one day I see this man was stopped from coming inside the ashram, but he would fight and struggle and wriggle in. So one day he wriggled inside. I was sitting near the samadhi and I saw this man coming there. Then something changed inside me. I said, mother has called him, he is connected to the mother. Who am I to judge? Next day when he came, he would come to just time to time to have a fight. So I said, wait, before you start anything, let me tell you. I have cleared my heart of all misgivings about you. He said, that's what even I want to tell you. I have cleared my heart of it. I don't know what's happened to him, but I learned that if you correct here, things get corrected a lot. So then I said, you know what? I saw something. I saw you go near the mother. And I felt, I was just sharing with him. He was drunk. Okay, then he was 24 hours. So I said, I felt, and many other things, unspeakable things. So I said, you know, I felt that you have love for the mother. That's enough. What else is required? He told me something which sane people do not say. He said something. Who else is there whom one should love? I was totally, you know, all the pride fell. Here was a drunkard who was teaching me a profound truth. Who else is there whom one should love? So, you see, our way of looking at life, we have to change. That's consecration through consecration. That's what collective work is meant for. When there is a disharmony, imbalance, it's very easy to snub, it's very easy to shout, it's very easy to cut. Very difficult to harmonize. Very difficult. And that's what we are here for. We talk about world unity, let's, you know, start with that. And at least the minimum that we can do is to keep the divine in the center. Not my benefit, not your benefit, divine in the center. Then we'll get the guidance. And still, things may not change. It means they're not meant to change. Don't worry. They will change when the time comes. When the time comes, the most powerful country will start doing foolish things. Go on a self-destruction mode. Why? The time has come. Nobody has to say anything, do anything. They will do things. Helplessly driven into the mouth of the Kalapurush. So, that's where we have to learn. Lot of patience is required in mother's work. Lot of love is required. It's not a rigid kind of do's and don'ts. Yes, there has to be, but more importantly, lot of love is required. Lot of compassion. Ashram has been created on the basis of this. So people come and say again about the ashram that, oh, this person, that person. I said that, just think for a moment. If this person, that person, and all kinds of persons have been taken in, can you imagine the kind of divine love that is manifested here? Oh, we never thought like that. I said, who can take? There are lines in Savitri. They too are safe. The dark deities who leaped in revolt, that which the white gods missed, they too are safe. A mother's arms desires her rebel sons. This is part of her work to convert the asuras. So we have to look at the work in a very, very vast way. This is not a monastery. This is not a mutt of sannyasis, but something much more complex which only she can handle. So to invoke her all the time, invoke her, all the problems, keep presenting to her, write to her. When we had cows, I don't know, we have cows here or not. There used to be two cows, Jersey cows, and there were very little milk. And we are running short of money. So in a diary I used to write, "Mother, today the cow has given so many liters of milk. We need more. Mother, no guests are coming to the guest house. We need money." So this is the beauty and joy. Challenges, connect with her. And if everybody connects that way, how beautiful this would be. So this is, okay. And finally, what should be the attitude of individuals who want to form a collectivity? See God in everyone. Basic thing about the yoga. Don't see hostile forces here, there. You will end up seeing in everyone. We are supposed to see the divine in everyone. In his own way, little way. We don't know what is going on inside an individual. How he is struggling with this. So see the divine in everyone. It doesn't mean go everyone, "Oh God, you have come." Don't do that. Then you will be sent to a psychiatrist. There was a person who had so much, you know, burst of divine love inside, one Russian, and he started embracing everybody. So he's embracing the tree, he's embracing every boy, girl on the way. So they brought him to me. Now this person was genuinely having the experience, incidentally. So then I told him, "See, I understand what you are experiencing. But don't embrace everybody, otherwise either you will be in a lunatic asylum or in a jail." He said, "I understand it." I said, "This much you remember. Hold this love inside. Don't start doing it, because otherwise you will become imbalanced." That's true. So balance and moderation is understood, necessary, indispensable basis of yoga. We can't grow imbalance in any direction under excessive impulse of love or, you know, even some knowledge comes and we start, you know, writing books after books after books. And looking for publishers. So when the divine wants, they will see the light of the day. Otherwise, see how Sri Aurobindo wrote. No individual stress. It must come. And then advertising, you know, "I have written this book. What are your comments?" Who has the time to read all these books? We have time only to read Mother and Sri Aurobindo. That's good enough. All our life if we can read. Mother and Sri Aurobindo, that should be good enough. So this is how the attitude should be, basically. And lot of compassion. Lot of compassion is needed in this yoga. Lot of love. Only mother's love and mother's compassion, if we embody, we can, you know, deal with it. So how should decisions be made? Keep mother in the center. In the field given to you, you have the right to decide, because mother has put you there. Feel her presence in the heart. Read, if one cannot. Open a line, whatever way you want to. Take time, reflect, step back. If you want to intellectualize it, what would be the best from her work point of view? And then take a decision. It may be right or wrong, doesn't matter. Offer it to the Divine Mother. It should not be based on because I have said and because that person has said something and that person I don't like. Therefore, he may have said something which is genuine, which may be correct and true, and it is coming from, one should be able to, ready to listen to a babble of a child. Maybe something true is being spoken. So start listening when wife or husband says something, at least listen. Maybe she or he is right. After all, maybe some truth is being spoken from. So rush to act and impulse, so that's how we should take up this work. All this comes through evolutionary process. I'm putting in a nutshell, because we all go through that phase where we have that strong idea of this is right, that is wrong. As we evolve, we begin to see in that vastness of the divine how foolish we were. Then, of course, how to align soul choice and individual choice. By individual, soul is the individual. But if you mean by that the outer individual, the ego's choice, well, sincerity is the only word. It is difficult, but the will must become sincere. And threadbare, we have to look at the different strands of nature, hidden motives which take justification. One thing is never to justify. So as we grow sincere, it's again a process. Then we begin to see slowly that, well, this is what the soul's choice is. But my ego is, very convenient terms it is using. It can use very convenient terms. It can say mother's work. All kinds of things. So one needs to grow sincere. Ask mother for sincerity. It's the rarest quality. Very rare. And there is no end to developing it. Nobody can say, oh, I have become sincere. Shobindra says, if you become integrally sincere, you will be transformed that moment. The fact that we are not is a sign. There are so many insincere elements. Look at them. Not to be disheartened, because one should be very glad. Mother says that when you discover some defect inside, you should be glad that, oh, I have detected. And offer it to the mother. Not to, oh my God, I still have defects. That's why people who are marked for yoga, always they will be surrounded by some people who will keep pointing out. If people are pointing fingers at you, you are in good company. Beware of flatterers. Very dangerous. But if there are people who point out, it's okay. Nobody's opinion makes you good or bad. But at least, maybe I'm blind to something which somebody is showing to me, and if I discover it, yes, there is a truth in it, then offer it. And if there is no truth in it, take it one of those opinions. People have a right to their opinion. They may think I am a stupid person. It's fine. You don't become stupid because somebody says you are stupid. You don't become wise because somebody believes you are wise. So, in fact, one is nobody and nothing. Whatever one is, it is the divine. So that's how it's a long process. How to be true instrument of divine's work? There are three things. There is a beautiful essay, small little essay, and I would suggest that one should read it. It's about the delight of works. So he starts with that: first, know yourself to be the instrument. So what is the instrument? Is the most external thing. So he gives the example of a sword. The sword is a joy when it is kept in the hilt. It is a joy when it is taken out and used by the master. It is a joy when it is broken and put aside. Then it says that equal joy discover. I know so many people in the ashram context who for some reason who had to, put aside. But they took it beautifully, all this as grace, and how this helped them and grow wonderfully. So one has to discover. Equanimity is most important. And equanimity is a big subject, not going into it, but equanimity. Offering everything to the mother. Pride of the instrument, very dangerous. Then you discover that no, this instrument is designed by nature. Know thyself next, that nature is the worker, not you. There is nothing which is our, which we can say, oh, you took a... Sir, you are very intelligent. What is there? Nature has bestowed the gift. How you use it is your given to you. So nature has given us certain things, and how we use that gift is where whatever our choice lies. Third, with the master. So these are the three levels at which we evolve. So instrument is the first thing. So instrument should be equal, supple, strong and consecrated, supple, not fixed in ideas, not rigid ideas. God may use in whatever way He wants. He may not use. That's enough. Ever heard of Vasuki biting anybody? Vasuki, Shiva's serpent. He doesn't. But he's an instrument. What is he doing there? When you go near Shiva, first you meet Nandi. Nandi is nice. Nandi you tell in the ear, Shiva hears. Because Nandi is Bhakta. You tell a Bhakta, divine. But if you want to go past, first whom do you meet? Shiva is in trance, Vasuki is there. Vasuki is doing nothing. But if he is scared, oh my God, oh my God. I have to get past this serpent? Yes. How big is the serpent? Oh, he is the biggest serpent you can imagine. Seriously? It is very nice to see in images, no? Shiva with the serpent. go near Lord Vishnu. Bhujanga Shainam. My, he's a thousand-headed serpent. They're doing nothing. I mean, Vasuki is doing nothing. He's adorning. But he's still doing something. Once when somebody asked the mother, see how we can be deceived. So, mother, this fellow is all the time critical of the ashram, critical of everything. Why have you kept him here? Mother laughs and says, oh, that means only genuine and sincere people will come. Now, can we understand mother's leela? So vast and supple we have to become. Then we begin to understand. So wideness, plasticity and equanimity are the three terms to be always remembered with regard to mother's work and to become an instrument of the divine. Any other question? Yes, please. How to carry out the process of descent. Mother is very clear on this. Give yourself. If one strives for experience in the yoga, ego will come in through front door, back door, any door. It can be dangerous. Imagine descent of the Mahaganga. What happened? Bhagirath Tapasvi couldn't bear it. So it is the Divine Mother who makes the descent. Our task is to offer ourselves to the Divine Mother. And so therefore, when she wants, how she wants, which way she wants, the descent will take place. She says that if you pull, it's an act of egoism and it can break the whole system. But at one place she says, yes, there comes a point when you can invoke. So there is a difference between invoking. Invoking is a state of giving. So when we invoke anything, divine peace, divine force, first invoke divine peace. The descent of peace is the first thing needed. If without the divine peace, without the psychic being coming in the front, people go mad, actually go mad. I have seen it. It's not some ordinary stream descending. The one who has created the stars and the galaxies are spinning in space, that power is descending. Any egoism, and you know, one can get into all kinds of experiences. Shivinder is warned against it. Intermediate zone where you see visions, hear voices, and you think you are royally on the road to the divine, but you are on the royal road to perdition. So just work towards offering the ego self, dedicating oneself, give oneself more and more, and obviously descent will take place. Ascent and descent both will take place. Leave it to the Divine Mother to give what she wants to give, and that's the only thing. So there is no forced, willed awakening of the chakras in this yoga that mother has described. In fact, she says in most of the places where they do it, it's not really the divine energy in matter that awakens, kundalini. Most of the time one comes under the influence of vital forces and they start playing a game. So one has to offer, give, surrender. If whatever comes, peace, force, new faculties, capacities, turn them again for mother's work. then yes, one becomes ready, descent takes place, ascent takes place, not because one wants it or one does it, but it happens because the divine does the sadhana. So in this yoga, it is the mother who is the sadhak and the sadhana and the sadhya. So we have to offer ourselves, submit ourselves at her feet to do with us what she wants to do. What makes Hanuman a Hanuman? It is his constant aspiration to be a servant of the Lord. That's how the process is. Yes, please.
Does anyone should try to know whether he or she is loving the mother? Or if it is yes, then how will he get to know?
So the answer is very clear. Even monitoring oneself for progress, which includes love for the mother, the sooner you forget yourself, the better it is. With regard to love, there is a very beautiful line one of the mystic poets has said. And I'll not repeat the Hindi version, but I'll repeat the English translation, free translation. The mystic poet says, this is the house of love. It's not your auntie's house. So how do you enter? Cut off your head and place it on the floor outside. Then you enter. The more we forget, the more there is love. Now let's translate it in human relationship. Never tell a person or feel, you know how much I have loved you? After all the effort, you get 0 marks. Am I right? No. Do you like somebody who tells you? Do you know how much I have loved you? I did this, I did that, then finished. We have to just forget ourselves so completely in her by whatever means. What is love? But giving oneself, that's all is love. It's very difficult because one has to completely, as someone has said, it's a stream of fire and we have to drown in it and go. And that brings results. But one doesn't do it for results. So there is no bargaining, no calculation. You know, there is that famous mystic poet Bhule Shah, whose songs have been totally misappropriated by Bollywood. One of them was the Thaiya Thaiya song. No, what is the original song? Original song is, he says that I am standing below your sword and your sword is cutting me to pieces, and with each drop of blood it's saying, oh Lord, thou art so wonderful, and dancing in ecstasy and joy, karke thaiya 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 thaiya, teri talwar ke niche mein nachiya, karke thaiya thaiya. I am dancing below your sword in ecstasy and joy. That's love. Read his story, is so inspiring. The moment calculation comes, maine kya kiya, tune kya kiya, maine diya, tune diya, all gone. Give, that's all. Only thing one should monitor is, if at all, how much I have really given. What is it that I have yet not given to the Lord? And always there are plenty that we have not yet given to the Lord. That's the only thing. And actually that's what love is about. Yes, sir.
Question and answer. The question and the questioner are the same, but they are different persons.
Okay, if you ask from the Advaita Vedanta perspective, it is the divine wearing a mask in the questionnaire and the divine without the mask who is answering. So from the ultimate truth, because your question merits that kind of answer. But if you take the pragmatic aspect, then the questioner is the same in a state of ignorance. And the answer comes from that state of knowledge. And there is something beyond ignorance and knowledge, beyond vidya and avidya. And that is the Divine Mother. Where question and questioner both sees in a holy stillness, where all is known forever, because the knower and the known and the knowledge grow one. That's the ultimate state. There is neither a questionnaire nor a question nor an answer. They have grown one in that utter stillness. That's the ultimate. That's the supramental.
Whenever a question comes up, can I find the answer to that by myself.
Always.
Why should I go outside and ask?
No, you should not.
The answer is not coming from inside. And the proper, correct answer tallying to is not coming. Then you should not, question should drop out, no?
It's a very good question, I must say. So you see, what happens is when we ask, put a question to ourselves. Now it's true that all answers are inside. There is no doubt about it. But the problem is, we must also know that the mind will give very convenient answers. If you have read Muhammad Iqbal, that fellow wrote, Sare jahan se achcha hain dost hain hamara. But later on he said, Chino Arab hamara. He migrated to Pakistan. I hope people know that. And we sing, ah, sare jahan se achcha hain dost hain hamara. He wrote that. That's true. But toward the later part of his life, he owed his allegiance to Islam and went away to Pakistan. Now, point is that when the mind answers, normally, higher part of the mind, then it gives us very convenient answers. So he has written a work called Shikwa and Jawab-e-Shikwa. So he raises questions and he answers them. It's a very interesting work. But if you read it in a higher light, then you realize that the mind is answering things. So that is the problem. That's why one needs something external. Maybe either, of course, if one is very fortunate, the guru, and what a guru we have, that he has answered everything. So we are so lucky. Or we have sometimes representatives. It's difficult to read all the, you know, so he has also arranged that way. But we should not forget that from whoever the answer is coming, whatever, it's, if the genuine aspiration is there that one is really seeking an answer, the divine will use any instrument. Sometimes a child will say something which is the answer. Because guidance is everywhere. That is the story of Dattatreya. That is the story of Satyakam. So, whether it comes from within or without, important thing is sincerity of the seeking. So, if the question is really sincere. See, there are two kinds of questions. One is for the sake of mind can go into a discursive state. Some people like to play mathematics in the mind. So they raise questions which are actually from a higher perspective. They are not even questions. I can give several examples in the field of healing, in the field of, you know, child-adult relationship. Supposing a child asks a question. I'm giving an example. Mama, you're so bad, you kept me in that horrible place called womb for 9 months. How much I would have suffered, no? Now, what will the mother say? Is it a question? It's ignorance, that's all. So there are questions which are not questions from a higher perspective. So even to ask questions is an art. So that's why faith is so important. It cuts through the questions. So the last answer to this is given in the Chandogya Upanishad. What does it say? How do you get the answers? So one is the mental discussion, debate, all that. But it gives, the Chandogya Upanishad says something very beautiful. It says, Bhidyanti hrita granthi chidyanti sarva sanshaya. When the strings of the cords of the heart are cut asunder, then all doubts vanish. Why? Because the psychic being comes out. So then many things which appear like questions automatically are answered in the process. So that's the other. So the effort should be ultimately to discover or uncover the psychic being. If you ask me, that is the. And till the psychic being is not uncovered and discovered, then whatever way you get, whatever temporary answer or a good answer which you feel is sincerely worth following, go through that. Because divine understands your intention. It does not go by mechanical outer rule. So it should be like that. Like Valmiki, maybe we can close with this. Probably one last question you can take. Yeah, we'll take one last or two last questions. Just I'll complete. So Ratnakar, he says, I can't say Ram Ram, you are asking me to say Ram Ram. So he says, doesn't matter what you can say. He says, I know only killing, 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 so Mara Mara, that's the only thing I know. So he says, Mara 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 Ram 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 Ram. So Sri Aurobindo notes this in Vande Mataram, one of his, and this is well known in Indian mystic thought. Ulta naam japa jag jana Valmiki vah brahma samana. Valmiki didn't know how to take the name of Rama, and he is credited with writing the whole wonderful epic of Rama because in his heart he carried Rama. He was not practicing technique. How should I say? Should I say Rama or should I say Rama or should I say Ram? So now you see, this questioning mind can raise this question. Should I say Ram? Should I say Rama? Should I say Rama? Sanskrit is correct. English, human mind can ask. What will Lord Ram say? He'll say, it doesn't matter. You're calling me, you should be clear about that. That's the... Yes, please.
Can we ask the mothers to solve our personal problem?
Of course. Who else will ask? Everything to the mother. Personal problem, cosmic problems, wife's problem, husband problem, gents problem, ladies problem, children problem. Who else will ask? She is our friend. She is the ultimate. Whether she will answer favorably or not is a different thing. But we will get connected. See the trick.
But if you try to ask her that way.
Yes, she loves it. Sri Aurobindo writes that in the Synthesis of Yoga. Why has she come? Divine has come as a mother. So he says all the different relations we can form with God. So one of them is divine. When he comes to divine mother, he says she comes to the soul as the mother. To whom the soul goes in all its difficulties and torments and troubles. And he says, Divine Mother loves it to be this way, so that she can pour her heart of love upon her creatures. Now, there are some mothers here, no? So, what do you like when your child cooks Maggie by itself, says, Mother, I am independent. I have ordered from Swiggy. Or says, Mama, please cook me some nice meal. I am hungry. Which child do you love more? That's the motherhood. She loves when we go to her. But yes, supposing you say that, Mama, I want Maggie. She will say, okay. And quietly in the Maggie you will find vegetables, this, that. And you may say, Mama, what have you made? No. Beta, next time I'll remember. But she is passed on. So the divine may not solve it the way I want it to be solved. But he has heard. And there is a bond which forms. Everything. Connect with the mother. Why only problem? Even a good event. Mother, this something nice happened to me today. My husband was so sweet for a change. Half an hour he spoke nicely. Say it. What is there? Who knows what is happening? Connect with her and yes, yes, yes. And people, mother herself answered this. Apart from that, you know, this is independent of yoga. You may believe in her, you may do yoga, not yoga, that's different. Even the dumb cry of four-footed things, all nature dumbly calls to her alone to heal with her feet the aching throb of life. Bird and beast and stone aspire, plants used to go, tree has gone to mother. Mother, they are going to axe me, help me. And mother calls the person and says, what are you planning? Say, Mother, we were only thinking about it. You see, tree has understood your intention, has come to me. So it is beautiful, that bond which develops between that bond of child, and that's why the divine has come as mother. She has not come as, she always said, don't put me on a pedestal like a guru. So when somebody asks a mother, what can we expect from you? Mother's reply, everything. What do you expect from us? Mother's reply, nothing. Then the person asks, they are all documented, so I'm not saying something based on. So the person asks, Mother, do you think humanity is fulfilling your expectations? See? Twister. Mother says, since I expect nothing, I cannot answer this question. That is the highest bond. It means we confide in her. See, if we ask her, go to her with every problem, what does it mean? Means we treat her as our supreme confidant. Whom does one go to with all the problems? Somebody whom one trusts fully. So it's the sign of a growing bond of trust. Please ask. Please share everything. What we think is a problem, which may not be a problem from the higher perspective, but doesn't matter. Or things which we don't think is a problem, things which are happy, things, everything should be offered to her. And see the magic. This is transformation. Yeah, you were saying something. We can take as the last question. Yeah, okay. Okay, we'll take a couple of... Yes, please.
I have a question, like how to use discernment. Like sometimes mind feels, oh, this is the easiest way and we should do this, but actually in the larger picture this is the right way, but the time and energy is also limited, and in some areas, some relationship, like how to have discernment.
Very clear. You already have the answer now. Because of time and energy, we want to do something. One thing I must tell you, do the right thing, however difficult it is, how many times you may have to try and retry it. Because at one level, time is limited. Another level, we have lives beyond. There is something, a poem of Sri Aurobindo, where he says, I have a thirst. And the thirst presupposes water somewhere. But in this life, I may never find. Old nature sits a phantom on the way. Old habits return. Yet I have a thirst and I must persist, O Lord. So always keep trying. 10,000 attempts, one fails. Doing the right thing is better than finding the easy road to success. Because all these failures are paving the way for the victory. Our errors are his steps upon the way. That's how it should be. Yeah. Please, I'll come to you also.
More than a question, just to elaborate on the ethical transformation. Relaxation transforms mother as a phenomenon. Relaxation transforms into
peace, self-existent peace. Yes.
And rest transforms into contemplation.
Yeah.
And entertainment transforms into bliss.
Yes. Very simple. That's something we all can experience. What does humanity normally do to relax? It goes on to some all kinds of TV programs, or when you say that I want to relax and people go to a holiday. Now if you go on a holiday with family, see, you will end up fighting, you are doing the same thing. Go alone and seek solitude. Go with family, but that's not relaxation. One must know the difference. So you don't need to go somewhere. Seek every day some moments of solitude. There are actual studies on this. And there is a difference between loneliness and solitude. Loneliness is forced. Solitude is you choose. So every day seek solitude when you are seeking God's meaning in your depths. And it is very rejuvenating, very rejuvenating. But if what one wants calls relaxation is running away. Oh, whole day I have been working, now I want to, you know, okay, go for a party. That's not relaxation. You come back, you are tired, you are exhausted, or you are getting that dark energy. So for some time you are, you know, and then you fall asleep, you go into inconscience, you wake up, you are the same angry person, worse, you feel you have relaxed. So it is obvious, it's a simple experience of life. So whatever things may happen, at the end of the day, relax in her lap. And as often as possible, contemplate being in her lap or being in her light, cocoon of light. That's how Mother puts it, like a water lily floating on the ocean, in that cocoon of her light. Few minutes will relax us. Yes.
Sir.
Just I'll come back.
The same thing which I asked, that there is no mutual.
So men are becoming women and women are becoming men. That's true. That's the new creation. That's part of the working of the supramental. We may understand or not understand, we may like it or not like it. But the new type of humanity is going to be like that. Where, see, what does nature do? Let's put it like that. If you are making a car, So you'll have different things being manufactured in different places. Then you are putting them together and assembling. So each has a role. So till now, you see, like again, the Chaturvarna, it had its meaning. Different section of humanity growing in a certain manner because it was needed. Now what is happening? Now the new creation has to come. So all these parts have been brought together and there is a fusion process going on. So you will see that every man hid in himself a feminine. And actually, if you ask me, no man is truly complete unless he has brought out the feminine inside. We have the concept of Vardhanarishwar, no? And equally, no woman is complete unless she has brought out the masculine inside, which is hidden inside. We recognize it nowadays. So that's why all this is happening. And this will go on unless you discover that unity of these two genders. Having said that, is there then no truth between the masculine and the feminine? There is one truth, and that truth is very different from what we want it or expect. In the lower creation, feminine is, a coy lady, very touchy, chui-mui, what is it called, tender, and you know, if she says to the husband, nonsense, a woman means she should just submit and say, as you say, Swami, you are my devata. Who made all these conceptions about women? Not the divine. Read the Mahabharata. How Draupadi chastises Bhima. How can you sleep like this on the floor? What kind of a husband you are? A fellow wakes up in the middle of the night. Who is there? He gets angry first. Who dare? Then she says, Draupadi. He says, what am I supposed to do? Go and kill Kichak. You are having all the laddus and sleeping like, what kind of a man you are? So now you see, this idea of a feminine who is just subservient is a completely, don't believe in all this, okay? So, but if you go to the origin, the feminine element is the manifesting element and the masculine is the ideative element. So what does it mean? You see, from nature you learn everything. So many things come up on earth. So many types of plants, animals, everything. From the womb of earth, literally. But is any of these things possible without the sun and the rain? So what does the sun do? He simply seeds. That's all. So even in physical nature, you will see the man casts the seed. See, physical nature brings this out. In animals, everything else is done by the feminine. So some people feel bad about it, but well, you have been chosen to do the more challenging task. What did the mother say? She said, without him, I exist not, but without me, he is unmanifest. Shobindu himself said, without the mother, I would have practiced the yoga for myself and realized, but I would not have been able to give it to anyone. So the much greater challenge is with the feminine, and one should be proud about it if you ask me. So there is a masculine and the feminine elements. In real life, it takes this form of, you know, people who can combine idealism and practical vision. You know, a leader who can combine this is the greatest of leaders. Some are very idealistic, but they don't have the practical aspect. Some are extremely practical, but don't have the ideal. So the masculine is the ideative element. And the feminine is the manifesting power. That's why she is called a Shakti. So that's why you see, now what is happening today is all khichdi going on. It's part of the process. And the divine knows well. But the old format of man-woman relationship is no more valid. If you apply it, you will read on your computer screen, this file is corrupted, invalid, access denied. Ask any woman today, you know, you are supposed to do pati ka seva. What? Outdated fellow? You expect me to be a doormat? Equally, if you ask a husband, kamana aapko hai, you have to earn, you have to do this and provide me, you say, excuse me, we'll be together, that we'll work together. You say, you want me to earn money? Yes, but we'll also work together inside the house. I'll cook the meal, you can clean the dishes, or maybe you just sit, I'll cook the meal and the lady will come and wash the dishes. So times are changing, times are changing. That was the song, no, which came. Pink Floyd or whatever. So basically it is changing and you just can't help it. That's the divine plan, okay? We have to just read it. You can't go back. And it's changing very fast.
This is the last question.
Yeah, okay, last question.
Through divine sadhana, should we lead our life like Sri Aurobindo and Mother?
Open to the Mother. That's all that is required. By whatever means, in whatever way, look at a photograph, call her name, do her seva, feel love in the heart, think of, do naam jap, ma. All this is opening to her. Read her books. That's wonderful, because it will put you in contact with them. Not that we can lead our life. If you try to say that now Sri Aurobindo shut himself for so many years, let me do this, one will go mad. Sri Aurobindo himself said, you are likely to go mad, then realize anything if you do that. And what Sri Aurobindo did was very different. He was in active contact with the whole world. Incidentally, he was not.
I meant being with the family and without family.
That's okay, it doesn't matter. In yoga, in the ashram, from day one, there were not only people with family, without family. I'll give you a great, highest example, one of the highest examples. Nalnida. Nalnida's wife lived outside. Every year he would go. And they would have a child. He had 4 children. And at one point of time, mother told him, no more, last time. See, all these are human conceptions. People don't know, so they speak about it, that, you know, without Sri Aurobindo did not. There is examples. I know 2 people who not only got married, their children were accepted, child was accepted in the ashram at birth. And if I tell you the example, it would be scandalizing. Okay, so sadhana is not a fixed format. That's the old monk idea. Old monk idea, not the drink. So there is a story of this person, all directly I'm telling you, not read. The person himself, that he said, sir, I went to mother, my wife, she that time not my wife, she wanted to get married. So I told her, the mother, mother, we want to get married. Mother kept quiet. Okay, fine. They got married, they continued to live in the ashram. Then, mother, my wife wants a child. Okay, one child. They had a child. Then, mother, she wants another child. No, don't continue. This is a habit. Another person who fell in love with a maid, woman, like Satyakam Jabali story, ashram inmate. What did mother do? She got them married and both became ashram inmates. Divine action is not in any format. You can't make it a rule. Oh, that means I can just find anybody and no, what she will want. It is not about marriage or not marriage, it is about sincerity. There are plenty of people who are bachelors, but they are as miles far from yoga. For example, in one of his semi-humorous tones, Sri Aurobindo says, celibacy is not same as continence. You may remain a bachelor, what does it matter? So what the divine way of working is, we should just surrender and open. Many of the sadhaks were married, many were not married. There were Dhyuman Bhai, somebody was taking care of Dhyuman Bhai in the ashram. And in the ashram, we don't have the concept of marriage, but like a friend, she took care of it. And everything was Champaklalji, for that matter. But when his wife came to visit, he asked, mother, what should I do? She said, you can meet her only once and only in my presence. Normally, from the social point, naturally, she's your wife, she has a right over you. Nobody has a right except mother. So these are things which we can't put into any format. There have been people who were married, who had children. There were people who were not married. There were people who were twice married, thrice married. So that's how it is. It's about inner sincerity, which cannot be measured by any external yardstick. And we cannot fool, we may fool the whole world, but the divine knows. Yeah.
So, like in Hinduism, we always say, offer something to the divine. But after coming to the mother's path, more than offering, we have heard the word consecration. What is it?
It's the same thing, with shades of difference. Consecration, as I have already spoken about it, offering is a simpler process. Offering is something which is the basic. In offering, there is not the sense of the sacred. But consecration, supposing I offer my house to mother. Okay, fine. I put a picture of the mother and you say, you know, mother's grace, I got this house. Consecrating house to the mother, it's a temple now. This consecration is a much deeper. It is always associated with the sense of the sacred completely. So both are there. Mother speaks of offerings, he speaks of surrender, speaks of consecration. But consecration is a mystic word, so it is not generally used in literature, as you said rightly, because very few can do that. So offering is easy, that I have offered my hairs to the divine. So whatever it is, you can offer anything to the divine. But consecration is something far more sacred. Yes, one last. How will you know if mother walks into the room? What will be your state? You will feel full of peace, joy. Ma, how will you know when mother is there? You will know it by the joy and peace in the heart, by the certitude that all will be well deep within, by eternal flame of eternal hope, by gratitude rising inside. All this spontaneously will come by the presence of the Divine Mother. There will be no fear at all. The moment the Divine Mother's presence is there, felt inside, all fear will vanish. Imagine going anywhere in the world with the Divine Mother. Mother is sitting with you in the car. Will you say, oh mother, it's so hot. Oh mother, it's a traffic jam. You will say, nice. Let the traffic be jammed. I am getting more time with her. If terror comes in front of you, what will you do? Mother is there. You say, oh my God, mother, what has happened? Instead you will say, mother, your baby. All fear vanishes, all doubts vanish. There is the certitude of truth's victory. Peace and joy come spontaneously. They become our natural state. All emotions that are unlovely, untrue and ugly will leave automatically. Because they are not, you know, they will run away. It's not like you have to do anything. Her presence is enough to chase them away. You cannot think in low, mean terms because she is present. You don't even have to do anything. She does everything. Automatically you will get that, the urge to give yourself more and more. When the divine comes in front, what would you want? Mother, take me completely. Make me once and for all, forever yours. Isn't it? Will one asks, mother says, supposing I have come only for few moments. What will you ask to mother? The smartest choice is, mother, take me, keep me with you forever. Isn't it? That would become the natural state. Knowledge will pour in radiant stream. Wherever she is, knowledge will come. Please, please. I want to enter this instrument. Why, mother? It will seek admittance. Everything that one can imagine and everything one cannot yet imagine, they will come to the God lover and in whom the God's presence is there. There is nothing impossible for someone who has established the Divine Mother's presence in the heart, who has become conscious. Aurobindo goes on to say, there is nothing denied to the God lover, for he is the self of the beloved. She will shield you against everything. You don't even have to tell her. Not only the dangers that you know, but many dangers that you do not know. And the greatest of all dangers is we ourselves. She will shield us against even those dangers that we don't even regard as dangers. And so much more that the human tongue cannot utter. So that's why Mother says, when you become conscious of the Divine Presence, you will know it. The question will not be there.
The stages in consecration.
Huh?
Stages in consecration.
Okay, so now I think we do it from the heart. Don't think of, then the mind is now getting involved, you know, stages. I'll ask very simply, Divine Mother is sitting here. You want to give something to the Divine Mother. So the stages would be, you got up, you walked, you came, placed this way or that way. But what is the common factor? That one must remember. The undeviating will that this belongs to her. That's how one should be. The stages, steps, methods, mind will say. Okay, so we'll close. Thank you so much. Yeah. 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 Any questions you can always ask. Ask Alokda is there or anyway, you know, on that platform. Thank you. Jai.
So can meditation